Could I have my team come up? Mexico team, come. I'm going to let John Hayes open up a little bit because I think we're going to see some. Is that how we're starting with the pictures?
Mexico was awesome. We saw some stuff down there. We met people down there, and God is moving down there in Huatulco. He's moving down there in the entire Chiapas region, the mountains region, the coastal region, and we're just so excited about it. We're going to start with the video. It kind of gives a brief recap or overcap of the week. We've got some videos in there. We've got some pictures in there. And then we'll talk about some specific ones here a little bit after that. So you can see there were so many kids that were genuinely excited for what they received. And they were so amazed. And we were explaining to kids what toothbrushes were. We were explaining to kids what soap was, deodorant. Wash rags, they had no clue what wash rags are down there. There's so many things that just, it's hard to put into words what we saw down there. But we are so blessed here in the States that just the small things here are huge things down there. That second to last picture there, that was actually the boy that I was explaining to him what a toothbrush was. And he was smiling because he was excited about it. I'll say we can go ahead and start the PowerPoint then, Roger. And team, if you guys see a picture that you want to specifically talk about, just interrupt me and grab the mic. So, we started out down there, and we started heading through. We flew into actually an airport about 160 miles away from where we were going, even though there was one much closer. And so we started out with just distractions that the enemy wanted to get our minds off of what we were there for, what God was planning on doing. And this is kind of a map in one of the restaurants that we saw on the way to Huatulco. And you can see right there, we were about a third of the way into the winding roads. If you guys have been through the roads in Tennessee or the mountains, these roads are even tighter, and our driver was driving a lot faster than people drive around here. It was not an experience that we wanted to relive, any of us. So that was something else entirely.
Yeah, there were sheer drop-offs going that winding road. 800 to 1,000 feet straight down, no guardrails. And you're going around the driver that took us in a 20-passenger, 17-passenger van. Terry left part of her in about four different places coming. We were warned by one of the people that I knew down there that I met when I was down there in July. She said, if you're coming down here, take motion sickness pills or put a patch on. And me being a man of faith, prayed with my wife and said, we're not going to get sick. And so.
I just want to intervene here for a minute. Do you see where it's wiggling up and up and up and up? That was like 6 hours of a nonstop roller coaster ride, like this and this and this and this. So, yes, I did leave. I was the only one in the team that got sick. And just thank you all so much for being so gracious with the multiple stops and all of that. I appreciate it.
Actually, that's not true. I left stuff in Mexico as well. I got sick on the way back. Rick and Terry weren't with us. But in addition to that, also the roads, the earthquakes that hit down there, and actually portions of the road were gone. They were down to just one lane, just literally you were driving inches from it.
And we all prayed as we were going down there, what's going on? What's to come up next? And later we learned, I think it was almost midweek or so, our interpreter told us that he too had been praying on the way down. What's up with this, God? And God told him, this is a test for the team. So we passed the test.
Next slide. This is the Amistad Church that we went to on Sunday. And if you know, one thing that you kind of notice there is all those chairs. Those are actually, they're nice chairs down there. And so we may dislike our dated chairs at time, but I'll say their chairs down there, they those were the nice chairs, and even in some of the villages that we went to that they were using. That Sunday morning worship, the anointing was all over that church. God is, he is moving just as much in all of them. The during worship, God was telling me that we needed, that I needed to lay hands and pray for the worship leader. And he was telling me that during worship. And then after the service is over, Ashley said, I've got a prophetic word for the worship leader. So that got me excited with God using my wife in the prophetic. A gift that she really hasn't used a ton of, but God was speaking to us even starting off the trip here on Sunday. And so it was just awesome to see the gifts that God was moving in while we were there. The I don't know if you guys noticed, but in the video, the drummer was actually about a 12-year-old boy, and he was playing his heart out on him. This was the first village that we went to on Monday, and this area was heavy earthquake damage. So much of the houses there were made out of adobe clay, and we learned that a lot of the people in that village had actually lost their lives. Many of the houses, it was all that adobe clay, and so when the earthquake started hitting, a lot of the houses shifted, and the doors actually locked and jammed to where people were stuck in the houses and they couldn't get out. And so we realized as we were handing out the shoeboxes, interacting with some of the kids, that some of those kids were actually there with their grandparents, and they probably lost their parents' lives while they were in that earthquake. So here we're actually cleaning up the site that we were doing the distribution on, and we realized after we were there for a little bit that it was the foundation of a house that we were struggling to kind of clear up and trying to clean up some of the most of. And somebody probably lost their lives on that lot that we were on. There was a lot of rebuilding going on in the area, but kind of the first thing we did was cleaning up the site and getting it ready for the distribution. Here we're putting in some poles, that putting up just tarps, and it's, I'll say, tarps down there. It's literally just a tarp and some rope and a rock, and you're tying it to whatever you can, and it's... So we were, here you can see pretty much setting up for more of the distribution. They had chairs that they brought in from another building in town there. They had a sound system they brought in. Talking with the interpreter, he's actually involved in Samaritan's Purse down there, and he's involved with a lot of distributions, and he's going out into these towns long before we ever got there. We just got to taste a small portion of what he's been working on for so much time. And some of the needs that they have down there is when they go into these towns, not everybody has sound systems. So some of the needs that they have were for additional portable sound systems, battery-powered, stuff like that. It's just the stuff that we go down and we can rent from a rental store even if we wanted to, and they don't necessarily have that all available. Some towns don't even have electricity, he was saying. So, of course, everybody recognizes a lot of the gospel opportunity, the go boxes that we pack here, and then also a lot of other ones. These were not our shoe boxes, but they were all delivered and distributed to the individual towns that we went to. But they understand, they know how to distribute them, and every town we went to was different for how the distribution was, but it worked in every town that we went to.
I was struck of these pictures that you see of the various work that took place in his first village was that everybody came to work, including the team. I was so proud of the team we all just threw in. And you could see that's just a branch from a tree that we used to put. And they're so, the people there are so appreciative. You know, here in America, we've come to, you know, we want air conditioning, want everything just right, rent a tent, that kind of thing. but people came. And one of the things we'll talk about probably in a little bit, you see these boxes, and the children got the boxes. There were probably, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 kids that we ministered to in this village giving boxes, maybe a little bit more. But they were asked to sit and hold the box until everybody got theirs before they opened it. And they were all obedient. So they sat there very patiently. So I was impressed by that.
Actually, if you want to go back to one where we're putting up the poles. Yeah. I'll use a laser pointer on here. He was talking about everybody pitching in and doing their part and just the difference in culture down there. This guy right here, his name is Yada. And at this point during the week, he was just one of the drivers that drove us to that village, but he actually went with us on every single distribution with a smile on his face and just pitching in and offering to help wherever. We ended up finding out later that he's one of the pastor's sons, and just true servant's heart that you could see. He barely spoke any English, but you could just see him genuinely wanting to pitch in. He brought some of his kids along, his wife along on some of the other days when they were able to come. But it was one of the things that struck out to me the most is we went down there to minister, but they ministered back so much. I can't even begin to tell you about Willie's heart, the interpreter that's also involved in Samaritan's Purse down there. He's on fire for the Lord. He has such a heart for the people down there. He cares about the people that are in that area. He cares about the children. And he just loves interacting with the children. He loves interacting with the people in that area. Sunday night, we actually went on a prayer walk. And we felt more secure on the streets down there walking around praying than I think we do even around here at times. We just knew God was all over everything that was going on down there. And Willie he shared with a lot of his heart with us. He actually cares about the Canadian tourists that come down there a lot, because that area, they call them the Canadian geese. About this time of year, they all flock around down there to get away from Canada. And he wants to have ministries available for them when they come down even. He wants to have groups that are able to get together for them while they're down there as well. But so they were just ministering so much back to us that if we catch just a glimpse of their heart, we would have these seats filled here. I mean, they care about the people down there. Of course, we start the distribution. Willie, again, he interacts with the kids so well. He knows different stories. He has different teaching techniques that the kids just are engrossed in what he is talking about. He gives them the plan of salvation, and they pray, and many of them accepted Jesus while we were down there. We handed out the shoe boxes. Just smiles all over when they, and so many of them didn't understand that the gifts were for them. And so if anybody else wants to jump in, feel free. So. But
if you could go back to the slide where Joanne was ministering here. This was an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. Joanne came with the word of the Lord, and just about everyone, actually I think everyone that was in attendance at that women's conference meeting came up for prayer. And so we were able to not only love and give to the children, but the women as well were receiving of so much. And Joanne, you did a wonderful job. Thank you.
Ashley, she loved you. Anyway, she loved Ashley. She was Ashley's friend. But she came, I know she felt the presence of God, because she came for prayer, and I laid my hands on her, and I didn't know what to pray, so I just started praying, and I think I prayed in the Spirit some. And then she went back and sat by Ashley for a little bit, and Ashley was reading to her. But she came back, And I didn't know what she wanted. And then she kept going like this. So I put my hands back on her and I prayed. And I know whatever she was needing, the Lord met her. And those women were so precious. That village, I felt like I belonged there. I just felt the love of God, and each one of them loved us and welcomed us, and they gave their very best. It was just extravagant love is what the Lord showed me there.
So this is the second day on Tuesday. This is San Miguel de Porto, and this is kind of up more into the mountains than the other one. These are actually coffee beans that they had harvested out of the mountainside. And so they were raking them out to dry and to wash them and everything else. And so it's so much of their culture there with the coffee beans and with how they make money. So we captured that. Mick or Grant?
This was a picture that Mick and I seen walking back from lunch back to the church that you just seen. Anyway, if you look carefully, it doesn't look like much, but it swirls on the ground, dirt road, back to getting ready to go across the swinging bridge to the church. And we studied that, and Mick and I decided they had swept by hand the roadway for us, because just beyond where we went back to the church, leaves and everything was still on the road. And we were awed that they would think that highly of us to do that. We actually couldn't hardly believe it, but that's the type of people down there. They love us enough, even never having met us, and they was ready to serve us. So they went beyond the call of duty, really.
This was one of the things that really stood out to me on this trip. The Lord's been pointing out things to me about honor and things in life all for the last couple of months. It just keeps referring to honor. And this place here, I think it was a thing of honor that they would sweep the dirt road with a thing that looked like a broom but didn't have a handle. They had to bend over to do it. And they swept the whole road. Then they went out. The family, the lead family that first got saved in this village, they gave a piece of property for the church. And they built a church there. And they cleared the yard, which was all overgrown. And they were out there. We were out picking up little bitty pebbles and stuff. The yard wasn't bad. But they swept the yard, too, with that little broom. And they honored us in everything. They honored us with a great meal. And they showed us so much honor. This was a place where the miracles happened.
They said they built the church. And it took them a year just to build the retaining wall next to the creek to get enough space to put the bridge across to start building the actual building that you'll see in a few minutes here. So here's the bridge that they have, and everybody that came to this village, or to this church rather, crossed this bridge to get there. That was pretty much the only way we really saw into where we were meeting at.
I was the tester for the bridge for the team when they went across. I made sure and shake it, so we see if it could handle us, and it did. So it was actual swinging bridge with a couple broken boards, so we had some fun.
Here I actually was asked on Sunday to preach at this village. They wanted to do a joint message to both the men and the women in this village. All the other ones were geared towards women because women are getting brought up in those communities to actually lead and to teach more. And even at Amistad Church on Sunday, the pastor's wife, she was teaching there that day. But there were so many things that happened here. We had shoulders healed. We had eyes healed. I'll talk about it here in a few more slides, but there's an awesome story about a girl and her hearing being restored. there are so many miracles that God was doing in that village, and they were so open for it. They were so receptive for the healings. There was actually one lady that, Jean, she reminded me so much of you. She came up for a shoulder to get healed, and after Pastor prayed for the shoulder, he looked at her, he told her, "You're a prayer intercessor," and she pretty much, basically, she had one of the most anointed prayers that just reminded me so much of you, Gene, and we fully believe that she just, that kind of strengthened us for the week as well. So this, again, all these kids, they've got their shoeboxes and they're waiting patiently. And that's just so awesome to see the kids actually respecting and being patient, and they're brought up with respect there. Ash, you want to talk about these kids or...
This, I took this picture because it just cracked me up. Teenagers are the same everywhere you go. Teenage boys razzing each other pretty much about getting their picture taken, and nobody wanted to stop for the camera. And every time somebody went up to get a box, they were like, "Oh, get your picture taken," you know, in Spanish. But they just razzing each other. And so when they weren't looking, I had to snap the picture. But I just thought it was so funny because just teenagers are the same, you know, everywhere you go, it don't matter. So
this is the story about this girl and her mom. This girl was born deaf. She was still mute. She couldn't talk. She couldn't hear anything. Her mom brought her in to be prayed for after we were praying for a handful of people. And she received her hearing. And I was behind her, and I was able to see her eyes. And she, you could just see her eyes just open big when God opened her ears. And she was just looking left and right, like just kind of taking it all in. A smile came across her face, so big. And Terry was off to the side, and she snapped her fingers, and she turned her whole head looking, seeing what that noise was. And God was releasing her tongue, and Pastor said, "Say amen." And she couldn't hardly, she's never really spoken before, but you could just see her go, "Hey, hey." She was trying to say it, but she was struggling to get those vocal cords moving and everything, but she was trying, and she was just so lit up. Her mom was so lit up from it. Her mom had never received Christ. Even after God healed her daughter, she still didn't know if she wanted to receive Christ. And she, you could just see her just it weighing on her. You could just see it just burning at her. And eventually you just see her surrender. And she accepted Christ that day. You know, so often we wonder why God allows us to go through something. Why God lets things happen like that. I fully believe her daughter spent 5 years deaf and mute because he planned on drawing her on Tuesday. And God's got it all planned out. He knew we were going to be making a trip down there. He knew that she was going to go there to get a shoebox. But he had so much more planned than that shoebox. So it was exciting to see the salvation. It was exciting to see the healings while we were down there. Yeah, so this is a picture of pretty much the yard. And, I mean, the chickens were running everywhere the whole time we were there as well. But I would say this Maria, our interpreter that interpreted for the messages, this was actually a community that she was very much involved in. Every Saturday, her and a couple other people on her team would be going out. So this is also a picture of some of them that were there. The few people in here, they received healings that day. And just were a part of the church that were there as well. Anybody want to talk about thank you notes from?
This is the village where, kind of before the kids began to get their boxes, I was just kind of standing on the sidelines watching, and there was a little boy. I'm not sure if we put the picture in here or not, but I noticed that a young girl and a little girl kind of went beside their shanty, the baño, the bathroom. It was just a little tent thing. And she'd gone back there, and she came back and kind of shrugged her shoulders a little bit. And I thought, I wonder if somebody's back there. So I walked back, and sure enough, there was a little boy, probably six, seven. And he had the saddest look on his face. And because I don't speak Spanish, and I just tried to express to him, it's okay, it's going to be okay, you'll get a box. I hoped. I'm sure that he would. But so I got him to come back out, and I took him to Willie and Steve and the other, you know, people who were passing out the boxes. And Willie, our interpreter, spoke to him in Spanish, found out what his name was, and said, "You go sit down. You'll have a box." And so he did. And he came up to me later, and he had this box and this big grin on his face. But while I was standing there waiting, you know, for the kids to get their boxes, and then they opened them, One of the little girls came over to me and handed me an envelope. I thought, that's odd. So I opened it up, and inside was a thank you note, very similar to this one. Through the course of that distribution, several others came and brought me thank you notes. That's what it was. I don't read Spanish, but I could see gracias. I knew that was thank you. So one of them, Steve took a picture of, and we had our daughter Ginger, who teaches Spanish, translate it for it. Is this the one, the top one? Okay. It says, "Dear friend, my name is Miguel Suarez Garcia. I am 10 years old. I go to fifth grade. To me, I like to swim and to play football." Ginger said, probably soccer. "I am thankful to all of you for the gifts. I hope that for another year you can come again to know us better. And when I get big, I want to be a doctor in order to help this. This is that which I write to you. Goodbye, and may God care for you on your roadway or journey." So it was so precious. All these kids just bringing thank you notes. Others on the team got thank you notes. Obviously, there was some care and teaching of the children ahead of time. We want to thank these people. And all of them were just precious little things like that. It was just heartwarming.
So here's Wednesday, Dura Madero.
All right. I'm not sure whether we're quite done with that one or not, but just something that came to me as Mick was talking about honor. This is out of Proverbs. I forget which one. This is Proverbs 3, verse 9. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." This village, we saw, I think God moved more in this village than he did in any of the others. And this is the village that honored us. They honored God with his presence. They had worked to build this church, to build the building, to build the wall, to build the bridge. I think John mentioned it. It took them a year just to get the wall built. And the bridge is in there someplace too. So, you know, that honor goes a long ways. And God returned back to them because of that honor.
Now we're to Dura Madero. This was a Wednesday, and they actually had a banner that they had brought out at some point. Didn't see it when we first got there, but this was kind of different. We got there, and there wasn't a whole lot for us to do as far as setting up. Somebody had already set up a awning. Somebody had already pretty much prepared a lot of the area, but school was still in session. So we got there, and we were just kind of hanging out, and of course when the kids see a bunch of Americans outside, they lost interest in school. So we ended up moving on for the distribution way early. Here there was more space, and so again, some of the games that Willie interacted with the kids with, get them all excited, get the wiggles out of them, including us in a lot of that. Here they were trying to play a game where it was odd person outs, or they were trying to get to where they had only certain people left, and just kind of a little competition they were having. But they were all having fun. We were all having fun with it. This boy, we say they were all well-behaved. This boy was a little bit more ornery. Pastor Rick took very much to him, though.
This little boy is named Brandon, and he stole my heart. I wanted to take him home with me. And so we're keeping in touch with the family, and him and his mother and father. Young couple, only child right now. I imagine he'll have some more. But, yeah, Brandon was all over the place. He was grabbing guitars and grabbing things off the table and running around. And he reminded me of me. So, and so we, our hearts were knit. And please pray for Brandon and his family. You could see the joy, though, on these kids' face. And one of the things that struck me, I'll let somebody else talk about it, but whenever the kids came and families came, they went home and cleaned up and got their best clothes on to come to this midweek gifting time. But they put forth their best effort, and each and every one of them were so appreciative and kind. Families there are very strong. No matter what you hear about Mexico, we've heard so much about Mexicans coming across the border and trying to steal their way in here. These folks are hardworking, loving families that stick together. Divorce rate is very low in this area in Chiapas, Mexico, where we were the state there. Divorce low, families knit together very closely, and Christianity is growing there like a weed. It's the church that we visited, Amistad. They had 8 churches in July when I was there, and now there's 12 churches. And they keep planting churches in the mountainous areas. But these kids, you could see the reflection in their eyes of how appreciative, how excited they were, but also the kindness and the love that they had for us.
I just wanted to mention as well, whenever they opened their boxes, they were thrilled with everything that they got in their box. We had a couple of the kids received wool gloves. I don't know if you put that picture in here, but it was like 90-degree weather, very warm, and they're putting these wool gloves on and just looking at them. And they were just so, so appreciative.
Willie was talking to this little girl, and I said, may I take her picture? And he said, yes, and he told me the story. She had always wanted a baby doll, and he said that day she received 3. And it was just like, thank you, Lord. That's, you know, a triple portion.
And, you know, that was just, it was so rewarding, too, to see, because we've heard stories with Samaritan's Purse, and we've heard stories of them where people were specifically praying for something, or they're specifically needing something, and God knew what those people needed, and that shoebox ended up to them. We had this girl with the babies. There was also somebody on the first day that they were asking Willie what it was, a little blanket, and she had said that she had been praying for a cloth for her sister. So she received that box, but she was giving it for her sister. So she was sharing. I mean, their sense of family and community down there is just amazing. It's so humbling, really. I mean, it just gives you a whole new perspective for where we are here. So we spent a decent amount of time showing kids what some of the toys were, because they didn't understand what some of them actually were supposed to be. This one was actually one of those hand slap things. You take it and you stick it to the wall and it sticks or whatever. She thought it was an eye patch. So, and there were some other toys that even Willie, the interpreter, he didn't understand what some things were. So we kind of showed him but the kids were all loving it.
I suppose I ought to talk about this one. This is a father and his daughter, and there's only one picture in here. I took three in the series. She had opened her box, and then Dad is looking through the box with her, and he's having as much fun as his daughter. You know, and it was just incredible. He looks a little older, and if I understood him right, this was his only daughter. So, you know, it's just exciting to see what happens.
Here we are in the fourth day. This was San Jose. I'd probably butcher the last two words because I don't remember off the top of my head. But this was actually a location that we weren't really sure what all we were going to be doing. Joanne ended up preaching this day for a women's conference. Originally, we were only supposed to be having conferences on the first 3 days. So one thing with the missions field is you need to remain flexible, because we found out that Mexico time is actually metric. And so a lot of things didn't happen right away. A lot of, it'd be a half hour, and hour and a half later, we're still driving. And so we found out that we just remain open. This day it was at the village here. There was a church that some missionaries had actually planted a number of years ago, but they didn't leave it, or they left it, and it wasn't sustainable. And so it just kind of fizzled out. And that's one thing with Amistad Church, is they are going in and they're training up people in those communities to lead. They're training up people to carry it out through. And so the building here, the building was already there, and a family had actually owned it. And so they donated it to the church. And that, so this is where they're meeting at. Again, just everybody, school let out, but everybody went home and changed first, and then came back in some of their nicest clothes. Anybody want to talk about these? Or okay. These gifts here, they actually knew that they were going to have over 100 kids there. So kids that were local to that church already, they were just planning on, they got gifts and put them in bags so that way they had something to open with all the other kids. The kids from that church ended up giving away their bags because more people showed up than what they had shoeboxes for. So they were able to use these gifts as shoeboxes, and they were willing to give to the other kids just because they wanted them to receive Christ too. I mean, it's just so awesome seeing their heart down there while we were there. Here's one of the kids with the gloves. He actually was another one that didn't really care for his picture taken, but then he stopped, he backed up and kind of posed. But then he was going through his box, and he pulled the gloves out and put them on and closed the box back up. A lot of the kids didn't really even know what to do. One village, they were actually taking them out of there, putting them in their book bags there at Darren Madero with the school. But, Joanne preached on the Sunday there. You want to talk about the...
It was... I taught about Esther, and I ended up just kind of telling the whole story. The interpreter gal there in the blue, Maria, was such an inspiration to all of us. She was so gentle, so kind, so humble, and she interpreted everything. Amazing to be able to interpret we English people who talk a lot. But she did it very well. And afterwards, when we asked, or she asked the people if they wanted to come forward for prayer, we had a couple women, and then there was this young gal, she may have been in her early 20s anyway, came up, spoke fluent English, and said she wanted me to pray for her father, who was there. He was an alcoholic, and she wanted us to pray for him, that he be delivered of that. So we went to the back of the church, and you see behind Maria in the blue shirt there, there's a man in a red shirt. That was the young gal's father. The man in the white shirt happened to be the pastor in that church, and he was there during the service as well. So Maria and I had prayed for this man, and at first, he didn't speak English, but he conveyed to her that he wasn't sure if he wanted to accept Christ. And so there was a little hesitancy. Do we pray for him to be delivered of alcoholism first, or pray for him to receive Christ? And I said, no, he needs deliverance. The salvation is going to come. So we prayed for him to deliver him. He received that. And then Maria led him in what we would call the sinner's prayer. And he accepted Christ. And he was just beaming after that. And, of course, the pastor was right there, hearing everything that Maria was telling, taking that all in. This man in the red shirt hadn't been to church ever. So there was a bond, an immediate bond with the pastor there, a connection that something we couldn't continue in that connection with him other than to pray for him. So just amazing deliverance happened that day.
And there were a couple of people while we were down there that were delivered. And so much, we encouraged them to get in touch with the pastor and come back and build community with those people. So much of the same stuff we need here. If you pray with somebody to be to receive Christ, you need to get them plugged in with other believers. And so it's so much, it's all God's people. And that's the biggest thing, is it's all been family and community and the actual people. And here's a great example, too, as far as those people down there. Anybody else want to talk about the food or... but.
Okay, so in the top left corner, we had eaten at a beach. I don't remember which day it was, but all the food that they made for us, we didn't have to pay for, because they just, like, wanted to give us food because they were thankful. And at one point on that day, they actually gave us swordfish, which I thought was kind of cool. And so there was, like, lobster and shrimp and all this stuff, and octopus. And then in the bottom right corner, in America, if they were to make soup with chicken in it, they would actually cut it up and put it in. But here they take, like, whole chicken legs and chicken thighs and just throw it in the soup. And so I thought that was kind of cool. And their tortillas are really good. They're really good.
Ken's holding a coconut there. That was in Duramadero also, that they brought out their best while we were there. They gave what they had. It wasn't a small amount that they gave either. They fed 12 people with the interpreters, plus the drivers, plus the some of the other team that was there. I mean, there were a lot of people that they fed. Some of these villages, they were also feeding all the kids while they were there too. Ashley and I were sitting down, and we were going through, and the number of chickens that they pretty much had to process in order to feed all of us and to feed everyone else, they did not give stingily. They gave generously. They gave the best of what they had. They were making let me see the laser pointer. Right here at the top corner of this screen, that is actually, it's called ochetta. It's rice milk, more or less. It's made with rice and cinnamon and sugar. And they, at a couple of towns, they actually made it by the garbage can full. Literally, they were serving it out of the garbage can, and it was, I'm assuming it was clean. I have faith. They made a lot of it to give everybody. They were just so much of what they gave down there was of themselves, and they wanted it to, Mick and Ken and Steve were talking about, it is a lot of honor that they gave everyone. So, yeah. A beet. They were delicious. Okay.
For anyone who needs to have a heart-healthy diet, that plate was heart-healthy. Beets was the big round thing, that thing that's up in the upper left-hand corner there. is something like a turnip. There was no American word that the interpreter could tell us. Those were black beans. There was carrots and potatoes. The carrots were huge, which they'd sliced, cross-sliced, and then rice. And the rice was not just white rice. There was seasoning in it that was just very good. There was garlic in it, I could tell. But it was just very nice. That was our lunch. I mean, they served it to us that way. We didn't get to choose. I don't really want those. I don't want those. It was like, this is the food. And it was heart healthy.
All right, so if we could bring the lights up, and then I'm going to have John and Ashley start, and each team member is going to share their heart, what they wanted to share. So if John and Ashley could start there.
When I was praying about what I wanted to share, I didn't see the little girl that received her hearing, and I didn't see some of the deliverances, but I seen hundreds of kids get to open their shoeboxes, you know, and gifts that they don't receive otherwise. And, you know, everybody here knows that that's where my heart is for Operation Christmas Child and the kids. And, you know, when we talk to other area people here, they're like, you know, you'll very rarely ever get picked to go on a distribution. And I know that this was God ordained, because we got 4 days of distribution of shoeboxes. So just to see the joy on their faces, you know, and when the little girl got the blanket and she had been praying for a cloth for her sister, you know, it just, we preach it and we say it here that, you know, pray about what you pack in a box, and God will put it to the right child. But to actually see that, you know, it really increased my faith, I know, and it was just an awesome week. So
yeah, and say for me, it, and I've said it a couple of times now, but just seeing the heart of the servants down there, seeing the heart of Willie and his passion for Samaritan's Purse, his passion for kids, his passion for the community there. I mean, we were praying for a lot of the government down there. We were praying for a lot of the same stuff that we pray for here, but he has a heart for the people there. And just being encouraged by that. And Maria, the other interpreter, and her heart for San Miguel, and just seeing so much of the heart of the people there. And that's not something you can teach. That's just something that you catch. And they're on fire, and it's just awesome to see.
I think one thing I learned about the people getting back to honor is there's such a family-oriented culture that honors God, you know, because God said he was going to choose Abraham because he would teach his children and his children's children, and that's what they do. They're so family-structured. It's just awesome to see, and so generous. Like you heard how they gave to us. When we were getting ready to leave Mexico City, I wanted to get a coffee at Starbucks. They had two Starbucks real close to each other. So I got me a Starbucks. I had to break American money again. They gave me pesos back. I thought, well, what can I do with these pesos? There wasn't very much. So I thought, well, I'll give them to this girl with a Spanish track. So I said, you live in Mexico? She was a stewardess. And she said, yes. Yeah. I said, could you use this money? And She didn't blink an eye. She said, the lady cleaning the bathroom could use it more than me. I thought, yeah. I mean, just so generous and kind. I've got a whole new outlook on Mexican people. God bless them. You next?
What I liked most about the experience was probably Maria, because she was, like, really sweet and stuff like that. And when I first saw her, I thought that she was, like, the same age as me. Like, I'm 16, and I thought that she was, like, 17. But I found out later that she was actually in her early 20s, and she's engaged. And She ended up giving me, like, when we left, she gave me this little pouch that was handmade. It was, like, weaved and stuff like that. I don't know what it was made of. But it had this bracelet in it, and it had a pair of earrings that were made out of orange slices. I actually wore them last week. And it also had a note in it with advice, because I was the youngest person on the team. And so I thought that was really good. But I also thought that she, like, was really lighthearted, and she was really funny, too, because when we went on our boat ride on the ocean one morning, it was the last day we were there. And when I got off, I said, my hair probably looks crazy right now. And then she said, everyone's hair looks crazy except the pastor, because he doesn't have any.
That's pretty funny.
I want to take a slightly different approach and bring it back home to you folks. We learned down there of their struggles, you might say. They have very, very little to do with, and I don't know how they subsist, frankly. I'm telling you, they live on the side of cliffs, basically. They put props up along the roads, 30, 40, 50 feet on the back side of their homes, little huts, some of them. Some of them are businesses or so, attempted businesses. But anyway, they struggle with a little bit of nothing, and I don't hear them grumble or complain. They just seem to be content. And I think maybe we need to take a second look at our content level, our content meter. I picked a scripture out of Galatians 6, 9, chapter 6, and you all know it, but we get discouraged, do we not? I don't know if they were ever discouraged down there. They probably are. They're human beings. But we get discouraged, and we have a way out of that. In Galatians 6, it says, "And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not," or don't give up. So there's things coming down our road, and you've been part of all that we've been a part of, just because you gave, you've shared in some of the benefits, you've prayed, and there was a unity in our group that you wouldn't believe, and that came from your praying. But nevertheless, you get discouraged sometimes, and there's some things coming down our road God's going to bring along that aren't going to be too cool, and we'd be well advised to not give up and keep going, even as we kept going for this mission. So that was a takeaway that I wanted to share with you, that to encourage you all, because you were not with us, but you were with us, absolutely. We felt it. So bless you.
Well, it was just really good. I just have to say, there's so much I could say, but 5 minutes, not very long. Okay. They were so loving, like I already said. And Abby talked about Maria, but all the people were like that. So giving of themselves, giving whatever they had. They didn't bat an eye and have, I don't think they had probably one selfish bone in their body. You know, and I look, oh God, I'm so selfish at times, you know. But I was just so humbled and so blessed by their generosity and their love and their care. And I guess what I want to say is what the Lord was talking to me about all week was, love is a powerful weapon. And we each one have that weapon in our arsenal that we can defeat the enemy is with God's love. And that's how people are going to be won to Christ, is through our love. And through us just genuinely caring about them as they cared for us. How are we going to do that? I don't know, other than just being, listening to the Lord and doing whatever he tells you to do, even if it seems crazy or even if it seems silly, like, well, what would that do? Well, if it's done in love, it's going to do a lot. So that's all I have to say.
And I think the thing that I want to share with you all, going on a mission trip is a good thing to do. I really encourage each of you to go. And I know at this moment in time and at other moments in time, you've probably said, that's fine, I'll do something else instead. Steve and I have been on, this is the fourth one, actually. I'd forgotten about one that we did years ago on the Mississippi River. But this time, I just felt like, not now, Lord, please. As you know, we're still in business full time. We're 70. I'm 71. He's 70. We're still going at it in this world because God has not told us now's the time to stop. So for whatever reason, day in, day out, we just do that kind of thing. So I'm thinking, how are we going to manage this? To be gone for a week, to raise the money. How are we going to do this, Lord? And I was kind of scooching my heels, and Steve's like, on the Sunday that Pastor said, everybody who's going to Mexico, stand up. And Steve stood up, and I said, what are you doing? He said, we're going. I'm like, we're going? So okay, we're going. And I know, because he's been with us through so many things. When God tells you, do it, you do it. Don't figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. Will you try to? Yeah. That's part of our nature. That's part of the mind that God has given you. If he tells you to do something, you don't sit right there and wait for it to come. There are things you have to do. So we did set about praying. And God provided everything that we needed. He provided everything that all of you on the team needed. Amazing. A motley crew we were. From 16 to 80. Male, female, every stage of life, of marital status, whatever. We were it. And yet, yes, we got along wonderfully. It was family. It was family, just watching out for each other. I encourage all of you, listen to the Lord. When the call comes again, whenever it comes, you want to go on a mission trip, we're going to go. Pray and ask the Lord, is it my time? And don't worry a thing about it. Don't worry a thing about it. God will provide everything from the shots you need, from the clothes you need, the food, the money, the travel, the ear patches, the Dramamine, whatever you need, he will provide. Don't worry about, is my friend going? Is my mate going? Is my kid going? Is my parent going? Don't worry about that. Man, God takes care of it. He really does, and we praise him for that.
Well, I have to be honest with you. when Pastor first started talking about this trip, I wasn't excited. Joanne and I, at that point, had been on one trip overseas to Tanzania. We'd been on two trips together here in the States. And I just had no desire to leave the country to go on another trip. And I couldn't say I wasn't open to it. I just didn't have any desire. And at one point, the Lord said, I want you to go. And it was like, but Lord, I really don't want to go. You know, but out of obedience, I said, okay, we'll go. And that was the way we went. And God blessed us. We learned things. And you look at the 10 people that went, every one of us has changed in some way. You do not go on a mission trip, whether it be in the States or overseas, and not learn something. You don't change. You will never be the same when you come back. And I just, I want to encourage each of you guys, Randy and Kay and Mark and Kathy and Dwayne and Kathy. When God calls you, say, okay, I'll go. Don't, like Joanne said, don't worry about what's going to happen because he'll put it together. John and Patty. You know, Patty has handicaps, but that doesn't mean God can't open the doors every step of the way for, you know, Tom and Beverly, Jim and Katrina. You know, you may think I'm too old. Well, we had an old guy with us. He did fine. You know, just be open to what God's telling you and go and do it. You know, and you know, let me bring it back closer to home. That goes with day to day. You know, when we're out, we're talking to somebody and God says, tell this person that. Do it. And see the miracles that God brings forth.
Thank you. There's a couple things I want to share. First of all, I want to read a scripture. And this is in Isaiah. This is Isaiah 9, verse 2. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. I received that word before we went down. And then again, the Lord just continued to minister that to me while we were there. The first village that we went to, you've already heard, there was a lot of death that had happened there. A lot of orphans that were being cared for by community or living relatives. The thing that just amazed me as we were, you know, clearing off land is seeing abandoned foundations and knowing that a life was most likely given there. And whenever I read this scripture again, the Lord showed me that we were the ones that were seeing the great light. We were the ones that were receiving that amazing revelation that even in the shadow of death, Jesus was there ever before we got there. And we were just so blessed to be able to walk into that and see the mercies of God in the midst of some real destruction and real sadness that we have not seen. Whenever we would pray for the women in that first village, every one of them were gracious and loving and no bitterness, no hardness, no hardening of hearts, no, you know, why me, why my family, why did this happen to us? Because, you know, you look around and you see building supplies everywhere. And at first it looks like it's a wonderful thing there in growth. But then you start realizing that it was not a wonderful thing. They were rebuilding because they had nothing. And it was just really awesome. Another thing that I wanted to share was the amazing abilities that God gave our team. Every one that was on the trip to the last one, every one of you just were such wonderful examples of the love of Christ and the giving of God and the, you know, the vulnerability. You know, we ate a lot of food that we really kind of just weren't real sure about, you know, but not one of us got sick. Not one of us got sick from food or, you know, hibiscus juice that we were drinking or, you know, rice milk or things like that that were very foreign to us. But God kept every one of us. And so I just want to thank you as a team that you represented new life wonderfully. You represented Christ wonderfully. Every morning we had devotions and another team member would bring the devotions for our day. And again and again, God would just show as we walked out that day how the devotion was meant for that day. And it was just amazing. Thank you all for that. Those that have supported us, those that came to the fish fry, those that did all of the things that were necessary to get a team of 10, which is a lot to take down to a foreign country. And thank you all for your prayers. We love you much.
I was so very humbled to be part of the team as well. After Terry and I had decided we wanted to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, this last year. And so when we found out we were going to Mexico, we decided to stay an extra week. So we were going. We just got back yesterday. It was a tremendous time. And we got a chance to relax and lay on the beach and do all the things you do on vacation. Overeat, eat lobster, swing in hammocks, and wade in the water, that kind of thing. But I was just blessed so much by the team. And the thing that really struck me more than anything was the humility of the people that we were surrounded by. Even the people in the hotel where we stayed. The average pay down there for the hotel employees was $8 a day. Now you say, that's not really too bad, a dollar an hour, but that was a 16-hour day. They're working double shifts, 16 hours. And always had a smile on their face, always, you know, trying to communicate between English and Spanish. And then when we were out in the churches, the lady we talked about that reminded us of Jean. Jean, she could have been your twin. She was she walks, this lady walks down from the mountains 1 hour to come to church. She lives up in the mountains, so she, when she walks, it's not uphill both ways, but when she comes down the mountain for an hour, and when church is over, she walks up the mountain. She's like 90 years old. And when we got done praying for her, prayed for her shoulder, and God healed her shoulder, and then she prayed for me in an anointed prayer. She left and came back with a dozen eggs. She gave me a dozen eggs. I don't know where she found them or where she had the money to buy them. And then another lady we prayed for that got healed, she brought coins. About $3 worth of coins to me and gave me coins. I was so humbled by that. And I realized that, you know, we get a lot of our information from news sources. And we, you know, we get a kind of look of what Mexicans are, you know, they're all trying to get in the United States and get over on us. That's just not true. There are those that probably are doing that. There are wicked in every nation. How many understand? But for the most part, I found these people to be hardworking, caring, loving, family-oriented people that really could use, we could use missionaries from there to come teach us how to conduct ourselves in a society. Some of the things that we bought hook, line, and sinker are not acceptable in Mexico. Transgender would die quickly on the vine there. 98% of the people are against anything other than male-female. 98% of the population. Can you imagine? And like I said, divorce is low, families are strong. While I was there on Sunday, I was worshiping the second Sunday when everybody left. Terry and I went back to Amistad Church. We were worshiping in Spanish, and I was trying to hear God about some things because when you're away from and on vacation, God told me years ago never to look at anything as a vacation, so I've tried to remember that. Let me try to get this up here. So while I was praying, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 next week, so I encourage you to study that. But matter of fact, turn there real quick. Let me have 5 minutes with you. Hebrews, is that all right? Everybody okay for 5 minutes? The ham will wait. Hebrews, where's Hebrews? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Hebrews. There it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." And I was contemplating that as I was trying to worship and sing in English and everybody else singing in Spanish. And the Lord dropped this into my spirit. He said, "I'm going to shake the earth and the heaven this year." And I said, "God, if you're going to shake heaven, why does anything in heaven need shaken?" And we'll talk about this in a week or two. But I said, "Is there anything bad in heaven needs to be shaken out?" He said, "No, everything that's good in heaven is going to be shaken onto my church on the earth. The shaking is going to be the gifts, the fruits, everything that we're going to need for this end time harvest. He said, I'll shake the heavens. And then a couple days later, I got this in my, one of the connections I have. Mario Murillo said on the 16th, he got a word that God was going to shake the heavens and the earth. And here's some of the quote. He said, we are at the moment when Google, Facebook, Apple, Twitter, along with leftist leaders, will unfurl a cyber iron curtain. Christians will be marginalized. Values that violate our constitution and freedom of religion will be enforced. Bible preaching will be a hate crime, already is in Canada. Carnal ministers were toadies in this place to drive the church underground and terrorize Israel. God sees the coming midterm elections. He talks about that being a change. He said, God came to the inescapable decision that revival must come now or the nation is lost. He will pour out wrath, but he will also pour out his spirit. Look for despised little churches faithfully preaching the word of God to become centers of glory, miracles, and mass conversions. That's new life. Look for nobodies to come on the scene like a righteous tornado and roar repentance with such power that their voice will echo in the penthouses of power. Look for campus ministries to rise because millennials will see the blatant persecution and turn Christianity into a celebrated cause. Look for preaching to be matched with miracles, confirmation of the word by medically inexplicable healings. Look for God to pull out all the stops to save America. Look for every ministry fueled by man to fall by the wayside to make room for the voices that cannot be shaken. So we are entering a time when the shaking in heaven is going to bless us. It's not something that's bad. It's something that's good. Come on, someone. And we're entering that time. And I echo what Joanne said. If you want to change in everything, go to the mission field for a couple weeks. It changes your perspective on everything. When I came back, as often as I've been on a mission, every time I come back, I thank God for every little thing I have. People were so appreciative, they had nothing. And here's a lady that walks an hour to church both ways and goes and buys eggs to give to me that I had to give away because what am I going to do with eggs? But they're a giving people, they're a loving people, and God moved in a powerful way. This little girl that got healed, I wish you all could have been there. I wish you all could have been there. This little girl, whenever we prayed for, I sat in a chair and I just prayed for her. And I wondered why the reaction that she had, because if you've heard and lost your hearing and hear again, then hearing is a tremendous thing. She had never heard her whole life. She had no idea what noise was. So we prayed for her ears to be open. God opened her ears. And she started hearing all this stuff. And she smiled so sweetly and she just went. She looked up at her mother and said, what is all this that I'm hearing? It was just such a beautiful thing that you could see. She was awed. And then when I said, say amen, she was going, hey. She had never used her voice box before. And she was hearing what she was saying. And just, she was odd. But that kind of thing is going to happen on American soil. Amen? And I wanted to say something about missions also. Why we make missions trips like that. And those third world countries and where we were. When you and I run into a problem, we can go buy a book. Somebody says, hey, have you read this book? You're having this problem with addiction. You're having this problem with fasting. You're having this problem with prayer. Go buy this book. Turn on this program. Watch this video. Those folks have nothing like that. So when we went down there and touched those people, we were the video and the book and the thing. And we went down there, and what I told the team, when we're down there, we don't have time to get to know people. We don't have time to sit for 2 or 3 months and say, hey, you can trust me. We're going to have to go in the name of Jesus and speak like the little girl that received the healing, the alcoholic that got delivered, the shoulder that got healed, the life that got changed, the blanket that was provided for the sister. All of that is God saying to those people, just like He does to us in ways that are so uncomparable to theirs. We pick up a book, we talk to somebody, we watch a TV program, and they, people came from 1,600 miles away to stand in front of them and say, God loves you. God cares for you. Here's a prophetic word. Here's a healing. Here's something. God loves them enough to send people like you and I down to strengthen those folks. And so I can't say enough about that. Do me a favor, get with these people and ask them, milk them of what they saw, because I know they have much more to share than what they did this morning, and ourselves as well. Thank you very much for your gift to us at the end of the year. We used that for this vacation, and it was such a wonderful time. Terry and I are so appreciative. We have lots of pictures that I'm sure Terry will show you if you give her half a chance. And I'd like to thank the team for not showing the pictures of me laying on the airport floor sleeping. So could we pray? Father, thank you so much for this time of sharing this morning. Thank you for the patience of our brothers and sisters. Trying to say what happened to us in this very short amount of time is very difficult. Suffice it to say, thank you, Lord, for using us in such a tremendous way. Thank you for each and every team member that everyone was used of you, Father. Thank you for those that supported us in prayer and being there. Father, we thank you for the Mexican people. We thank you for the villages that we visited. We thank you for Amistad Church. Thank you for Willie and Maria. Thank you for Pastor Estevan and his wife and his staff there at Amistad Church, planting yet a 13th church this coming month. Lord, they're working far beyond your expectations. God, you're pouring into them. And Lord, we pray that you provide for them, that they'd be blessed spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. We just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, the baskets are up here. Give somebody a hug. Make sure and come and talk to the team members. God bless you.